Kation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Kation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Hey, Laurie, your camera's not on.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
No.
There we are.
There you are. Oh my God,
I was
so
looking
beautiful.
At my dates as well. I think my camera is a little smeared, and I don't mind it because no one is using enough filter on these fucking videos.
This Vaseline, I got all kinds of issues, including my lower row teeth. I can't tell you, every time I go to the dentist, he's like, "What do you think about Invisalign?" And I'm like, "What do you think about giving them to me for free?" And what do you think about the aging process and how weird it is to get braces when you're in your 50s?
Is it better for your health also to have straight teeth because it's easier to, like, I don't think it's just a vanity thing. Like, infection comes in through the gums. Seriously, like, to floss and stuff like that? Yeah. He's probably not used to pitching women in L.A. on health issues as opposed to vanity. But I think it's a little, easier to clean your teeth.
Oh, my God. So the new social media project that I'm on is I've been given just a giant, it was a 2-hour, we went with Promotional Rescue earlier. And I think you did that, right?
Yeah.
And then redid your website, my website, Melanie VC. And right now I just paid for a couple of months of sort of how to optimize YouTube, TikTok, Instagram.
Ooh, and I'm sort
Facebook.
Of interested in that. Right.
Well, I'm taking notes. You can have them. And
You're taking a class on how to do it as opposed to hiring someone to do it?
No, I hired essentially she's just showing me how to do it.
Okay.
And it's intense. So much like Melanie VC, because it's a separate job, social media job and all that, and I feel like it's tied to so much of success of getting out there to new people that my concentration level is academic, and thus my brain hurts when we get off the Zoom and I've written down. And so I had like 3 pages of notes, and then I just typed them up and I put them in my email. I like it when there's 4 emails that I haven't addressed. That's what I like. I don't like 60 emails.
You like 1996 because that's the last year you lived like that.
I archive the fuck out of my emails, and I'm like, okay. And then if they email me again, they get, if they contact me twice, then I respond with
that
something
means they,
more.
They want it. Yes.
Right. Then they really want me on their podcast, or they really want me to do whatever. So other than that,
are you posting on a schedule more, or I'm super backed up with like
clipping
ideas.
Stuff out or
yes.
Okay.
And,
I recorded all 4 of my sets this weekend, but only audio because, Laurie, we've known each other pretty well these 8 years. Would you say that? Mm-hmm. Would you say it's 8 years now?
8.5, almost 9.
Almost 9.
Wait, when do we, our first one launched in January of 2016. We did it in 2015, like December-ish or something.
Right.
So we're coming up on the 9-year anniversary. Yes.
Great. Well, how many times have I snapped and then had it go just like there's the Sky Club story. There's Pushing the Old Man. You were there for both of those in 9 years.
Oh, for your retelling. Yes. Oh that's right. We have
we have a
new snap story. And
we have a new. And the thing is I'm trying to figure out when the last time I snapped, and
it was Delta.
It was Delta. And that is at least 4 years ago because it happened before lockdown.
Wait, with the kids in the, I thought that was recent with the kids in the Skyline?
No. No, because it was before lockdown, because it was going to go on the new album, which was going to be called Altercation.
So, Jackie, it just took you that long to tell the story to me because
you were there
with your humanity.
No, the Sky Club thing, you heard it as it right after it happened.
That was not 4 years ago. No way.
It was. It's Kyle, if you could do me a favor. There's no way you could do this. There's no way that you can look up when it
Kyle,
was.
Kyle, could you just listen to 9 years of podcast very quickly and let us know when Jackie
said it?
I'll
start right now.
I believe you, Jackie.
It was because it was going to go on the new album. And so it was before lockdown. And, so, I mean, this is actually a relief to me because I used to snap every 8 to 12 months and always in some sort of retail situation, always in public.
Yes.
And so me and a friend of mine, it was the reason why we had this pact where whenever we had a bad, you know, moment, we would call each other and narc on each other and then try to fix it. I mean, because there were twofold. If you told on yourself, it was embarrassing enough that you wouldn't want to do it again. And the other person would be like, and the stock line eventually became, because when she would do shit and then when I would do shit, we would say to each other, when are you going to get sick of apologizing to strangers? And because the other half of it was you had to go back and find the person you were rude to. And apologize. Yeah.
See, you should change friends and call me because I would tell you, say it again and louder.
Oh, don't think.
I would not discourage you from snapping.
I told the story four times on stage. Yes. Tyson, if you could knock it off because no one cares. Thank you. I told the story four times on stage this weekend. More than one person was like, I can't wait for you to talk about this on the Jackie and Lori show. And one person said, is the person you call Lori? And I said, can you imagine Lori telling me to go back and apologize? And she goes, no.
At least people can tell us apart on this podcast. Lori's the one that would egg her on.
Exactly. So... it was just, I don't know. You have told so many bad travel stories lately. You don't get mad at the person you're talking to, right? You know that they're at work and it's not their fault. And you don't get yelled at by, I got yelled at by Hertz.
Okay. So, I have mostly minor delays where there's no one to yell at, you know, it's just, it's the global world we live in right now. But I haven't gone off on,
I don't think you go off on people. I think that this is a character problem of mine that occurs, which is why I have this friend. Anyway, I'm not the hero of this fucking story. Here we go. I get to Seattle.
Every time you're not the hero of a story, according to you, you are absolutely the hero of the story. Continue.
Just so you know. Then this is going to be the first time. I get to the Seattle airport. I go to Hertz. They want to rent me an electric vehicle.
No.
And I don't know how to use an electric vehicle.
Right.
I am willing to learn, but I was not willing to learn on that Friday. And I said, I can't.
In downtown Seattle? No.
I said, I can't.
You need to be in a field. Okay.
Right. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I said to her, do you know how to do it? And she said, I don't. And I was like, okay, well, can I have a regular car? And she said, it'll cost extra. And I said, well, it wasn't clear on my rental that was going to cost extra. And there's nowhere to say, I don't want an EV. And she goes, right.
I would like to raise my hand when I have a question because I don't want to interrupt you. So
that's not a bad.
Okay. So because I've had problems with the car switching and all that kind of shit. Did you book with Hertz directly or was it like booking.com or Expedia or something?
Or something. It wasn't directly with Hertz.
Okay. Which one was
It was Priceline.
Ugh.
I'm VIP with Priceline. No, Priceline's always been very good to me. So what happens is I don't get the car. Because I was like, well, I don't think that that is fair. And she's like, well, that's what's happening. And so I was like, and this is where I crossed the line. I said, I would rather give you the money. And I threw down a stack of cash next to my ID. Yeah. Kyle comes out of his breakfast to write down some time code.
Jackie, this is an incredible meltdown that's actually benefiting the person that you're angry at, correct? I can't believe you fight with your own money. This does not make sense to me.
Well, she was offended.
Okay.
And she said, and I'm done. She did not put it like that, but I've worked in retail. I've worked in customer service. It's the only power you have. And so she said, yeah, take your things and go. I'm not renting you a car. And I said, yes.
Did you prepay for this? So that you pay for it no matter what?
Well, she had already charged me. Yes.
Well,
so
she can't do that.
Well,
unless she uncharges you. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, and that's where I said, you're not entirely wrong. She's like, pick up your stuff. And I said, I still need a car. And she said, pick up your things and go. Pick up your things and go. Pick up your things and go. And she just kept saying that over and over and over again. And so I picked up my things and I said, I have to check and see you haven't charged me. And she said, please go, go, madam, go, go. And I was like, and so I just stood next to her. She took another customer and I'm looking. I was like, you already charged me. You have to uncharge me. And she said, goodbye, Karen. So I was called Karen.
She stepped crossed over the line because should have. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No one's the hero of this fucking story, except for the fact that I'm like, but I have been charged. And she's like, bye, Karen. Bye. And I felt like I had been punched in the solar plexus. And I was like, well, I might as well get hung for a sheep as a lamb. So I said, I guess now I ask for your manager.
Yes. Why? I did not expect to be on your side in this story, and I am fully on your side. Oh, well, my God.
And now you're going to be back on their side, because here's the denouement, which is it the denouement? No, this is not yet the denouement.
I'm still reeling over this lamb sheep thing you said that I've never heard, but it sounds like an old Armenian axiom. Yes.
Well, her coworker says, I'll go get her. And then he lets me stand there for 15 minutes because that's what retail is like. It's the other only power you have.
Right.
You cannot serve people and you can tell them that you're going into the back to check or you're going to go get somebody. And then they just let you swing. So eventually I have a show that night and I either need to decide whether I'm going to take hundreds of dollars in Ubers and Lyfts or I'm going to rent another car. So I walk over to Budget and I rent a car and Priceline won't let me rent another car. They're like, you already have a car. And I'm like, no, they didn't give me a car. And they're like, well, it won't let you rent another car. So I go to, I believe to hotels.com and I rent a car at Budget. And guess what? They want to give me an EV. And so I say to the woman,
my God,
can I have a regular car?
No.
And she says, it'll be more money. Oh, and then God. I say, fine. Which is what I should have said originally. So here's the data. I don't know. I forget the definition of a data month. Kyle, you have an English degree.
I believe it's very much like the top off at the end of the story.
Right. It's the after is what I used to call it in sitcoms. Anyway, here's the scoop. I drive to the club that night.
Yeah.
And the brakes on the Budget car keep going ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. So on Saturday morning, I have to drive back to the airport and swap cars.
No.
And the people at Budget are like, oh, you have to go up to the, oh, and I, in between this, I call my friend.
Right.
Who's like, well, she crossed a line, but you also, it doesn't matter what she did. It matters what you did. So can you apologize to her? And I was like, how? Like, call the Hertz at the airport? And she's like, give it a shot. And so I tried. I couldn't get to the airport. So, but get this, the car breaks down. So then I have to go up to the budget desk, which is right next to the Hertz desk.
Oh, no.
And there she is working for a living because she works every day, that lady, turns out.
So do you, Jackie. So do
That's right. We were both at work. She didn't know I was at work. Right. All she knows is that she is probably yelled at every day because she works at a Hertz counter. It's a grind. I don't know why I digress. But so I go over and I see that the line's really long. She just keeps getting one person after another. So I write her a note and I walk up to her. Her eyes become very large when I walk up to her.
Oh, no.
Because she recognizes me. I wouldn't have recognized
you.
Me.
That's as much. Right. You, like, how many people does she have to say that to every single day? And she remembered you. Oh, my God. Incredible.
And I just said, I am very sorry for yesterday. And then I slid the note where I apologized. And then I walked away. And then I called my friend and she said, well, there's no parade, Cation. You did the right thing. And so there you go. That's what happened on my weekend. So every night I did. So the first night on Friday, first show, I'm so glad I recorded it. I have to log it because it is. I wish I would have filmed it because I might have clipped it out, except for I've got 15 new minutes, I think, because it led to this whole thing. It's the old altercation bit that I never did on staycation.
Jackie, there's a whole theme of you not being able to control your temper at service people, which is a terrible quality.
It is not a good quality.
But it's very relatable, incredibly relatable, especially because the other part of your act is you trying to be the best white woman you can be, and the fact that you still can't control your snapping is incredibly human and relatable.
Right. It turns out still human.
Yes, still.
Yeah. I'm going to pour some water. It might be loud. So sorry.
Here's my question about the car breaking down is you should have been able to bring it to a local budget right near LAX. You know, you should have had to drive all the way out to the airport because that's on them.
Right, it was on them, and they charged me anyway. I got charged. There was extra money. Extra money was charged. But by the way, I did really well in merch, and people also just handed me 10s and 20s. They were like, this is for the rhythm from the rental car.
Holy shit, that's hilarious.
So I think you're right. I think it is very relatable.
It is.
And because it is, I have... a couple new other new bits. So that's, but yeah, so.
And how much extra is it a couple, like $20 a day extra or something? I have not heard
it was $25. It is a new thing. They said that it was, and it wasn't that it was the gas. It was just that it was a different size car. They're like, all of our econ and compact cars are now EVs.
Oh, well, and where are you supposed to go to get to charge? Like,
that is the crux of the.
Do you have to charge it before you bring it back, or are you freed from that obligation?
I'm willing to learn. Clearly, not this weekend. I did not learn. So,
wow, that is
the next time you. I think you have work before I do, and you end up renting a car. Please find out. And
Jackie, in lieu of renting a car, I bring my portable blender and I make smoothies in the hotel and that's my new life. Yes.
Okay, that's
renting
it.
Renting a car is a fucking pain in the ass. It's awful.
Yeah.
The last time we rented was in Chicago when I got there and I forgot what happened. For some reason, I wasn't able to get a car at the place I'd already prepaid for. And so I had to go someplace else. And then I still double charged me. Booking.com. Never use booking.com. They are tied to Priceline. It's one big monopoly of people fucking
I literally should just call commit directly. I just should commit to a car company. I know.
Yes. And then call them directly to make the reservations and don't deal because you have no control. Same with hotels. You have no, get the price from those places and then do go directly to the airline or the hotel. That's my advice.
Thanks, Elliot.
Elliot.
Wow. Right. That's, you want me to haggle? You want me to get the deal price and then call the thing and go, well, it should be $12 a day. It should be $26.
No, I'm not saying haggle. Oh, if you go to like booking.com, they'll give you a list, you know, of hotels and you go, oh, I want the $79 one. And you go to their website, that hotel, and they'll have the same price. It just lets you know what's cheapest as opposed to you typing in each hotel indirectly.
Oh, I see. Yeah, but, well, yeah, you can do it on Google too. Like if you go to Google Maps and just look for a hotel where you want.
That's true.
It'll pop up and tell you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they're doing deals. Google often has another agenda.
Google always has a that's incredible.
Yeah, and to park
travel
in
just
Seattle
gets worse and worse. Yeah.
Yeah, to park, it was $50 a night at the hotel. But I have two very close friends who live in Seattle and I wanted to have lunch with them. And so blah, blah, blah. But
that's,
I sold a boat ton of merch and I sold enough tickets to get the first bump. So that was good.
Cool. Yep. Yeah. Yay.
And,
you know what? That's not going to happen to me this weekend.
Where are you going?
Dayton. So I'm in Dayton at the Funny Bone, and they haven't even tweeted.
Not on Instagram or anything?
List, I don't know if it's on Instagram. I have to check now. But the list of upcoming
isn't
on Twitter at all. But maybe people aren't tweeting. I don't know. Clubs aren't tweeting anymore.
I don't believe so. I don't believe clubs are using Twitter anymore.
Interesting. Well, anyway, so I have, I got a warning, like, you better sell some more fucking tickets. But here's the thing, like, I just kind of assumed it's Mother's Day weekend. I know I haven't been to Dayton in a while, but I'm a mother. Like, are we doing a package? Are we doing a bring your mom for free? Anything like that. Like,
right.
That's a good in. And I was like, do I have to, like, I guess I have to jump in on this stuff earlier. I figure... Right. Clubs know what they're doing with their marketing, but then I don't know what they're doing with me this weekend.
Right.
Usually because you get tagged and you're like, and then you start either quote tweeting the tag or sharing what it is, if it's like on a reel, right? And then that kind of gets you like, all right, we're going. And I haven't gotten any notifications whatsoever about this gig on any
social
media.
Well, you should make a reel and make them a collaborator.
I will. Yeah. I'll do that. I have one that I have to just caption today, and I'll do it.
But, and there's plenty of time. I mean, as far as like last minute people who, because there's a lot of that happening.
Like
a
ton of that happening. And that's why it almost seems, except for like, you know, all posted a lot of the, I mean, we'll talk about our gigs coming up, and I guess we do need to start doing to get people to buy stuff ahead of time. But yeah, people tend to buy in the last couple days, you know?
Right. Well, I have, like, my next gigs are these, and I called them these weird Wisconsin gigs, and I'm doing them with Mary Mack, and she's like, hey, I'm not weird. And I was like, wait a minute. they're essentially really nice one-nighters around Wisconsin. So there's like a Hayward, Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and a Madison, and Madison Fest, a festival. And in between, I think I'm doing a Don't Tell. And,
another one?
Yeah.
To
just
be recorded?
Just a gig, just a headline spot. So. I believe so. I do have to. It makes me want to check that that gig, make sure it's happening. Even though they never tell you where it is until the day of, because
it's part of the allure.
Yeah, that's the. But the Don't Tell guys, they've hooked up with Dr. Squatch, which is a soap company. They were the ones that advertised on my reel, the 10-minute set that Don't Tell did film. And they want to know if I have any hygiene jokes that they want to pay to put on their Instagram. And I was like, nope. I don't think I do.
They should do, they don't tell has my black Twitter bit. They should use that one. That's all about washing my legs.
Oh, there you go. It's yeah, pig them about that because there's money in it.
Okay. I also emailed them that they could release the rest of that set. A lot of it was, most of that set was also on my special, but also I don't want to release every clip out every bit in my special. It's like a lot of pink clouds, you know, like it's kind of, it looks like shirts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That jacket on that. Cause my 14 minute don't tell set has literally 14 clips.
Wow.
So it's a lot of coat.
It's a lot of, yeah. Was it like outfit, a tan coat? Yeah. I like it.
It was with the studs and stuff. Beautiful coat.
It looked really cool. Yeah. But yeah, when analyzes one's grid, it needs to have different shit, I guess. Yeah. Well, let's see. Right now I'm obsessed because a truck parked. Now, I don't want to sound like a next door a subscriber poster, but a truck parked in front of my home. Jackie, I've had interactions with people who park in front of my home. One of them called the police when my bumper touched her bumper, and that turned into a bit that's on my
screen. Right. That's right.
So on Wednesday, this truck parked and took up both spaces. Like if it had pulled up either side, I could have parked. And I would have been happy. Not happy, but still fine. As long as there's a little space for me and my little Corolla, that's all I want. Well, no, they parked smack in the middle and it's for sale. So they're trying to just, you know, they put a big sign on the back of the window, on the front of the window. They're trying to get passers by. A lot of parents walk by because it's a school area, right? Okay.
Wait, on the side street, they didn't park on the main street.
Yeah, they parked on the side street. Yeah, yesterday.
That's not how you sell a truck. You sell a truck on the main street or on that bridge over in Van Nuys. Yeah,
that's not why I'm complaining. I'm sorry.
sorry.
Why don't you call him since his phone number's out there and let him know. So,
right, your sales technique needs some work, sir.
Yeah, so this is permit parking. Like, after 2 hours, you're supposed to, no one cares, right? But after like 3 days, I care.
Right.
You're only supposed to park 2 hours if you don't have a permit. So, I lodged a complaint with the,
you narked
with
on
the
them?
Police.
All right.
Me, ACAB, I turned ACAB in 2020, and now I'm like, hey, when I park, if I'm here one extra minute on street cleaning day, you're ticketing me. So this person's parking, taking up two spaces for 3 days when they're not permitted. Where are you?
And did they come?
Yeah. So they got a ticket yesterday and now they're parked. It's street cleaning day and they're parked on the side of the street and they didn't. I thought they moved the car today. Like maybe they died. I don't know.
Oh,
like,
so the car's still there. The truck's still there.
Yeah. It's been here for 6 days straight in this one parking spot.
Wow.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I was thinking maybe I should tape a piece of paper over their for sale sign so that when they come, they're like, oh, this is not a good place. Not only am I getting tickets, but, you know, vandals are taping over my sign. Yesterday, another neighbor pulled the sign down and threw it in the cab of the truck in fury.
Yeah.
I don't want this person there either. I was like, thank you. But someone actually did it. So now we have one ticket. They're about to get another.
I feel slightly better about my Hertz experience. You didn't confront
a human
anybody.
Being.
Right. That's right.
No.
You didn't. No. You're just.
Jackie,
you're doing guerrilla
there
warfare.
Is a
it's more
law
sabotage. Yes.
In the neighborhood, and I'm trying to protect my family.
You know that Andy goes to our neighborhood meetings, and every time I'm not even exaggerating. Every single time he comes home from one of these meetings, he goes, I promise you, if you could make sure that nobody parked in front of these people's homes, they would give up all of their other rights.
Right.
If they could have their parking spot, they would give up whatever you wanted them to give up.
Right,
and,
right.
We did
Jackie,
I hope it moves.
To reiterate, I fully acknowledge that it's public parking, but also I had to pay for a permit to park here. And so if you overstay the permit, I didn't call 2 hours and 1 minute in. I called 3 days after.
Right, right. No, I think this was reasonable. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. Did you know that Kyle played the guitar?
Oh, yes. For many years, since I was 13.
Wow.
There's a guitar.
I mean, he's a male comic, so I assume.
They had to check to get my license proper, so.
Oh, my God. Stairway to Heaven. So we had a Zoom show the other night.
We did. It was fun. It was a last minute one. I just emailed you in the morning because I forgot that I had a set that night. I'm like, I'm all of a sudden you tried to joke out. And so we set it for 8:00 Pacific, sent out right. And then around 7:40, neither of us could log into Patreon from our phones to like post the link.
Yeah, it was
dicey for a little bit.
Right. It was okay. You were like, well, let's do it. I'm like, well, I land at like 4 and I have this commitment to play this board game for 4 hours. It's an actual social experience with my husband would have been great. And yeah, it's a long one. It's intense. Thunderstone Quest. It's okay. Anyway. So so we're both on our phones and you're like, I was supposed to go up an hour ago, but now I'm sitting in my car and I'm on my phone. I can't. And I was like, I've never been able to get into Patreon from my phone for some reason. And then, so I take my turn. I run into the house. I post the link on Patreon and you've already figured out how to do it.
And so the browser, you can't do it through the app.
Oh, weird.
Fucking Patreon on every level. Fucking Patreon.
And,
okay.
Well, and then, I made you host and you're like, I'm on my phone. I don't know how to be host on phone. And I was like, what? You're just, I had to leave and come back in to reclaim host so that I could let all the people in from the waiting room. You're like, I'm not seeing the waiting room. So, like 20 people
options on the phone. I didn't.
You do, but they're different. They're in different places. No, I get that. And, yeah. So you did 15, you did 10 or 15 minutes. And then I walked away from this room, the gaming room, mm-hmm. into my yard and told 4 or 5 minutes of worth of new jokes I'm working on into the phone. And then it was just for Patreon. And so, and then we wrapped it up.
Yeah. We'll do another one with more notice and stuff.
Yeah.
This is fun. Yeah.
You just wanted to try a couple of jokes. Yeah, you wanted to talk about Managua. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not even kidding. When you started, I was like, wait, Managua? What just happened? Hey, let's take a quick break.
Soundheap with John Luke Roberts is a real podcast made up of fake podcasts like If You Had a Cupboard in Your Lower Back, What Would You Keep in It?
So I'm going to say mugs.
A little yogurt and a spoon.
A small handkerchief that was given to me by my grandmother on her deathbed.
Maybe some spare honey?
I'd keep batteries in it. I'd pretend to be a toy.
If I had a cupboard in my lower back, I'd probably fill it with spines.
If You Had a Cupboard in Your Lower Back, What Would You Keep in It? Doesn't exist. We made it up for Sound Heap with John Luke Roberts. An award-winning comedy podcast from Maximum Fun, made up of hundreds of stupid podcasts. Listen and subscribe to Sound Heap with John Luke Roberts now.
And let's do Comic of the Week.
Oh my God. So,
you got a new fave.
I have a new, I just discovered her when I started scrolling Instagram because I realized we had a Comic of the Week. Instagram serving me funny women nonstop. Mm-hmm.
Nonstop.
Almost to the point I can't take it. I liked it when there were just 6 of us.
Oh
now
my God.
It's like a fucking a global population of funny women. I can't do it.
Right. So what's her name?
Well, so she popped up and I started watching and she really made me laugh very quickly. Her name is Anya Martin. She's Irish. And what's her
Laughs underscore. GIZALAUGH underscore.
Oh, a lot of underscores.
Wow, I can't believe that wasn't already taken. but she's really funny, and she just cringe mammies which is what she called her friends that have kids and become just people that post on Facebook how much they love staying at home. her clips, her reels are really funny.
Oh, that's awesome. And I watched a snippet and it was funny. So
many Irish comics are like, they're breaking through. They're really,
that's great. Just,
no, they're so fucking funny. I mean, the audiences are funny, but so of course their stand-ups are going to be brilliant.
Oh my God. I did the Dublin Comedy Fest once and I was enraged that I didn't, Sean Patton, like they almost carried him off stage. And me, they didn't like me until I did my Irish goodbye joke. And I was like, hey, assholes, the previous 10 minutes were hilarious. You're driving me nuts. Is it
a female thing?
I don't know.
Sometimes you're like, oh, they're watching. Like I'm a woman and they're watching for a little bit instead of immediately acknowledging that you're a stand-up. I have no idea.
Almost every single set, but Friday, both of my sets were manic because of my experience. And then first show Saturday was slightly manic because I did almost 35 minutes of new material on every show.
Wow.
Because I'm just, I have about 35 minutes that are ready for a new album. And I don't regret it, but I've written a new final tag to the, my dad's advice about suicide joke that is on the Don't Tell thing, but isn't on any of the albums. Except for that, the final tag, I don't know if it's worth, buying the album, but, it'll be fine. And by the time I record the next album, there might be more to it, but, I need to log these four sets and I have to build, a 45 or even an hour that I want to record. Right. Cause I'm getting to the point where I'm ready to record again. I'm not there, but I'm getting to it. And yesterday I got an email asking if I wanted to do if I was available, this is not an offer, to do a cruise in June. And I was like, yeah. And then I emailed her right back and I said, this has air, right? This has air and night before hotel, right? And I've not heard back. Because it sails out of Miami.
Can you type in the cruise line?
Didn't tell me. I think it's called something like DCB Talent or something is the name of the company.
Oh, it's a talent agency that's doing it. Okay, interesting. Okay.
And they do all of the different cruises. And I said, the cruises on the Mediterranean, you do those? And she goes, yes. But there was this pause that said, they don't hire comedians from Los Angeles to fly to the Mediterranean to do stand-up comedy. which, by the way, they are shrewd. They are shrewd to not. And cruise ships are so, I mean, they're so very not expensive. Like there's a Ritz. Did you hear about the Ritz-Carlton cruise ship?
Mm-mm.
It actually isn't set up as a cruise ship. It's set up as a floating hotel.
Okay. And, I don't know what that means.
The difference is that there's not like slides and there's, it's a lot, I guess it's a lot quieter. The article I read, it said it's a lot less populated and like, it's not, instead of 15,000 people or however many people that are on a cruise, Joelle does them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only done the Nerd Cruise. I've only done Joko.
I've never done a cruise.
Well, I've never, and I would be nervous about it, but then I would also need to remember that it may not be for me. This is worth an effort, right? To try and see if this is something that I like and to see if it's something that they like. Is it something that they would like me to do?
I think I think if I looked through lots of old material, I could create like an hour long show that spans my entire career, and it would be, you know, squeaky.
Yep.
But not too horrendous for me, you know?
Right. Well, and that's what I guess I will have to do, you know? It's just one of those things that you gotta.
It is so hard to stay in this business. Like, it just.
And yet, equally hard to leave. Wait a minute.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Well.
I know you didn't watch the roast. No. The Tom Brady roast.
No.
And you sound angry that I even brought it up.
I came home yesterday and Chris was watching Staycation. She was watching my special.
No,
so
no one watches Home to your own special. Oh my god!
And I was like, "Is this better than Coming Home?" And she's watching Rich Voss, or is it worse? And
I'd love to come home and see someone watching Rich Voss. but it would only be my kid. If my son was watching Rich Voss, that would be pretty fucking amazing. All right. But the roast was parts were great and parts were okay.
Who were they roasting? I forget.
Tom Brady, who is a football player.
He played for
the Patriots. He was married to Giselle. So,
I think I saw a clip. Yeah.
Nikki Glaser had a flawless set. And
that's not, she's, I mean, yeah.
She's really good at it. And her jokes were so fucking good and next level roast jokes.
Oh, good.
And I felt like some other people were like, yeah, I get it. Okay, so-and-so is a whore. And so I see how you did A plus B equals C. I got it. But it wasn't next level. It was like...
Her set was epic. She just nailed it.
Her set was next level.
Yeah.
And the things she targeted and like the stuff that, you know, was say like an obvious premise, like Kevin Hart is short or Gronk is dumb. When it's that obvious...
Yeah.
Like you have to go in a very clever way. And she did. Like,
oh, good.
Everyone's going to do Kevin Hart is short jokes. So how good is yours? That's what that turns into. It's not a surprise that you think he's short. Right.
Right.
And same with Gronk and her. Oh, just so, so good. And, you know, she killed. She went up early, too. So that's good. And then I haven't finished watching it, but Julian Edelman, who's a football player. Was given some great jokes and he delivered them well. And I was like, all right, good for you. And then others were like shitting their pants. You could tell other athletes, or they were just really nervous and worried.
Okay.
Belichick and stuff like that. Like it was, there were some,
it was
really...
hosted by Segura and Bert Kreischer, right?
No, it was hosted by Kevin Hart.
Oh, okay. What,
yeah.
Why did I see Segura? Did they,
well, they did a duo. Yeah, they did a team act.
They had a okay.
prop or something. Yeah,
that's what made me the clip. That's the only clip I saw, and so I thought that they were hosting because they were wearing tuxedos.
All the guys were wearing tuxedos. Yeah.
Oh, were
check
they?
Out, find Nikki's. It's incredible.
Nikki's set. Okay. Incredible. Yeah. No, I like Nikki. Nikki's great.
Yeah.
It's she's always been great, you know, since Last Comic Standing and we shared that weird room. we were short-lived weekend roommates.
Very, very good. And I was, like, incredibly jealous. I definitely wanted to have written on that show.
Okay.
But I'm like, oh, have I made too many Jeff Ross jokes on Twitter? To write on a show that he's a part of? Maybe.
Was he one of the producers?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Did he just have a row of 15-year-olds for anybody to take home if they wanted?
See?
It was okay.
It's that kind of behavior that keeps me off the writing staff, Jackie.
Right. So he's so gross. He's not for me. Let's just say I, Jackie Cation, do not enjoy Jeffrey Ross. So it's a lot. The Kentucky Derby was yesterday. I talked to my father after. I always try to talk to him.
It was
before.
Sunday, but yeah.
So yeah, Sunday. And okay. Right. And oh, I talked to my, I talked to my dad yesterday because the Kentucky Derby was Sunday. I like to talk to him before so that I can get his picks before the race instead of after the race, where he always says that he picked the winner. Because he always says he picks the winner afterwards.
So even now you think your dad lies about what he won?
Oh, I'm almost certain. I'm almost, I mean, I don't even think it. But he didn't actually do any betting, he said. He said he didn't go to the, he couldn't get to the Waukegan off-track betting, and he didn't want to go to the Indian casino. So,
well,
there you go.
I'm sorry to hear it. I had a set on Thursday in the original room, the OR, at the Comedy Store.
Yes, you
did. And it was a later set, and I did okay. Mm-hmm. I did not do great. And I was very in my head. I'm like, after the second joke, I'm like, they're going to ask me. That thought did not leave my brain. Even after this many years in the business, like that thought will come to your head in the middle of a clutch situation.
Yeah.
But you know, it reminds me of, well, you know, it's a room you need to get comfortable in because it's its own vibe.
The original one, that's the one that's just up the short stairs? It's not tall.
It's black. It's black. And then the main room is the red room. That to me is more like a classic big, you know, gigantic room.
Yeah.
Yes. And the OR it's got a little different vibe to it. And I can see that it takes some time getting comfortable if something doesn't work, going okay, and not just being I'm unpassed, I'm gonna go get my car right now before
that's what the seller was when I was doing that when I did the seller that week. I was just all worried that every set I wasn't murdering, that she was really like, oh, I've made a bad decision.
It's the way you have to talk to yourself is the way you have to talk to yourself at the seller of like this is not a regular comedy room. It has an iconic status in my head. Somehow it's transferred to the audience. And so we have to, you just have to go, I'm going to straddle this bucking Bronco and figure it out. And maybe it won't be perfect on this set, but if I can get a few more under my belt, then I'll at least. Right.
It's you know, like every new room is a learned room, but with those kind of rooms with that much history.
Yeah,
they're slightly harder to learn. They take several. By the end of the week at the cellar, I was good.
Why is that? Yeah,
it's just there's a psychological vibe to it that shouldn't be there because, you know, 40 years of stand-up comedy. Yeah,
right, for us comics. So it's in our heads.
Yeah,
is it in the audience's heads too?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't know. Really?
Maybe, but I don't. Maybe I can't tell. I did a vegan cake store vinyl DVD store last week.
Right.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Boyle Heights is gentrifying. And
I've heard.
It was actually really, really fun. Stephen Lowe? You know Stephen Lowe?
I think so.
One of the younger guys. It was it was his gig, and his girlfriend owns the space, and she made amazing vegan donuts and lemon poppy seed.
I'm looking in my calendar and I don't see myself booked on that. And I'm not, I'm doing a little improv work right now, Jackie. I'm not looking at my calendar. Space work?
I'm going to do this.
That's right.
I'm doing Zoom mime. So that was really fun. And I got to try some of the new stuff. That's why I have to write a set list, is I don't want to lose the stuff that's already done. Because you know how, like, when it's done, you're kind of bored, but you haven't done an album yet?
Yeah.
Don't lose it. It's going to be gold.
No, if you do it too long, it's like you do have to hurry up and come up with an hour because you will get sick of the first 20 minutes.
Right. I think it's probably why Chad did 2 hours and only sold one to Netflix, because the first hour was probably more polished and golden, even though the second hour is super, super funny.
Oh, interesting. It's what we've learned like the business just keeps getting worse. Like when I hear that established comedians are, and Maron talked about this on WTF, like he doesn't even have, like after all of his Netflix specials, his HBO stuff, he doesn't even, when he makes a special, it may not get sold. It's like, what?
Yeah, Maria, they didn't buy Maria's last one.
Mm-hmm. Jackie, what the fuck? Like, whatever. I maybe I say this every 6th podcast, what the fuck? But
no, even more often. But you're not
it
wrong.
It should be said constantly. Yeah.
it is a refrain.
Like, finally, Marin's podcast is finally well named. What the fuck is happening to this business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let's
take another break.
Oh my gosh, hi, it's me, Dave Holmes, host of the pop culture game show Troubled Waters. On Troubled Waters, we play a whole host of games, like one where I describe a show using a limerick, and our guests have to figure out what it is. Let's do one right now. What show am I talking about? This podcast has game after game, and brilliant guests who come play them. The host is named Dave. It could be your fave, so try it. Life won't be the same.
Big Business, starring Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin.
Close, but no.
Oh, is it Troubled Waters, the pop culture quiz show with all your favorite comedians?
Yes, Troubled Waters is the answer
to this question and all of my life's problems.
Now, legally, we actually can't guarantee that, but you can find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
And so you're going to go to Dayton this week. You want to tell people about your dates?
Hold on, I'm just looking at this truck. I can't believe it's still here. The street cleaner has summoned security. It's going to get a second ticket.
Oh, wait, street cleaner, that should get towed. It'll get impounded,
no, they don't
hopefully.
Get towed. They get a ticket.
But if they already have one ticket, I thought with street cleaning, they just impound.
Oh, interesting. Well, you know, I'm going to be perched out here on my porch all day long watching with binoculars.
Do you see those stickers I dropped off for the Patreon?
I love them. I meant to tell you that. I love them. That's great. Thank you so much. I didn't invite you in because I would have had you mask, and I thought it would have been weird. Like,
and I didn't have time.
Way out,
anyway. Yeah. I was supposed. Okay. I had to stop and get the mama a new salad.
Yeah. Also, I'm in Dayton this weekend, and right. I guess it's the last time I was in Dayton was I worked at Joker. Did you ever work Joker's?
No, I worked at Joker's, but I never worked
Oh my God. So Beth Stelling is from Dayton, and she said that area is just leveled, like there's no Jokers anymore. So it's not like I'm talking about a rival. But it was, I worked there in the 90s a lot, like maybe once a year I featured there. And the cigarette smoke was so historically off the charts. Like,
you started smoking.
Probably,
yeah.
Pardon?
You started smoking. There was so much secondary smoke.
It was so disgusting after every night. It was vile. I think I worked there. Oh my God, there's so many. I worked with NMA. I'm sensing a Doug Stanhope. I'm remembering, but maybe not. Sure. But Lisa Grigsby, who ran it, she's just a solo female club owner in a time where there weren't that many. And she had her own merch table where she sold dildos and sex toys.
Oh, wow.
Had no connection to the comedy show whatsoever.
Right. It was just like, you guys should definitely have some equipment.
As someone's leaving. She's the one that had, this is just a cynical acknowledgement of what 90s headliner comedy was, but she had a list of things. The local strip club is called this. All the things for your
right.
openers. Here's the fill in the blank that you could use.
That's convenient.
So that, it is convenient. And I would think it would lead Dayton audiences to think that every comedian just goes to strip clubs every single weekend because they would all open with the same shit.
Right, anyway. Right. Yeah, I am.
But that's not the Funny Bone. And I will be at the Funny Bone Friday and Saturday. It's Mother's Day weekend. Please, guys, bring your moms. I'd love to talk to moms, especially if they're out on a Mother's Day weekend retreat. And it will be fun. And if you know people in Dayton, sign them to the show. You know what? That's what our audience can do. Maybe they're like, I don't live in fucking Dayton. You know someone that does.
Do you know anybody who lives near Dayton?
With a Daytonian, okay?
Right.
That's your obligation. as a mm-hmm. Jackie and Laurie listener. Yes, we give you homework. Is right. to tell your friends that live in these cities to go see us. Make them right. fans. Make them, paraphrase Maria Bamford, join our cult.
That's it. Join the
not much personality.
But funny stand-up. And yes. I'm home for weeks. Right. So I'm hoping to actually get a bunch of sets around town. So I don't have any. I'm just doing Mint on Card. I'm doing the toy store in Burbank called Blast from the Past on Friday night. Great. And and that's the only set I have this week. So I'm gonna ping various parties, see if I can get some more work. Jen Kober's on the Dork Forest today, which is the Tuesday, because Dork Forest is Tuesday. Jackie and Laurie's Wednesday. And we're talking about maybe doing a Louisiana run together.
Neat.
And that'd be really cool. I've never been to Louisiana. So that'd be kind of fun. And she did, her dorkdom was Wonder Woman. And she got to see Linda Carter. Do you know Linda Carter sings now?
I think she always sang. I remember her being a singer, like trying to hold that off on variety shows.
Well, she sings on Catalina. She's the Catalina Island. Jen Kober saw her sing.
I want to go.
And Mary Lou Henner was in the audience.
Whoa.
And Leslie Ann Warren.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I feel like my mom's red books are coming back to life. When I was a kid.
That was the clip of the episode that I clipped out, but there was a lot of really great, and because we ended up talking about other like sort of strong women TV shows and characters from the 70s and 80s.
Oh my, Jackie.
They're towing it?
Parking guy. No, they're giving it a ticket. Oh, I've never been happier. And I don't like this side of myself because it's not good.
Oh, it is not attractive.
Yes. But somebody in a lime green vest. Yes. Take it away, friend. Woo. This chick's driving me insane. It's Wednesday.
It's like you're in the bleachers. You're just like in the bleachers, just yelling things.
Oh, and, my God.
Your son was almost as tall as the house yesterday.
Well, he's no Kyle.
He'll get there.
I'll tell you that.
No, he might get there.
He might be topping out at some point. How old were you when you stopped getting taller? I would say about
16, 17 was where it really kind of capped out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he's 17.
Okay. So he's probably.
You were 6'6".
I was
16?
Like 6 foot by like sixth grade. It just like tore through.
Oh, that was probably emotionally really supportive.
When he needs help
finding
shoes and pants, send him my way.
Well, but also, like, you were treated so much older so quickly. Like, you go from being a kid to what half of people think you're a full adult
who
drives.
The thing I was thinking is, like, you can't play on, like, playgrounds and play places even though you're a kid because other people's parents, like, pull them away from you because, like, you're big and they think, definitely didn't fuck me up.
I was gonna say that's gotta be emotionally.
Adults all think you're dumb because you're like six, but you look eight.
Right. Yep. I have a friend of mine who has a kid that's like that. The kid's 7 years old and he's almost 5'4".
Dang.
Wow.
And so everyone thinks that he should be able to do everything, but he's seven, 8 years old, so he can't. And because he is just
boy's
a
handsome
child.
Though, so he's gonna be anyway. Fine.
I hope so.
You're a good looking kid.
Look, I'm saving up as much money as I can. I don't want him to be destitute when I die, but the other hand is like I might need to all this money that I'm trying to set aside for you. And
you gotta turn him into an earner
till I'm 100. Get him. No, I don't want to go down that path. I was gonna say get him an OnlyFans. I'm like, what am I turning into?
Yeah.
He changed the name of his anime from The Monsters of Farewell because there's a book called The Monster of Farewell and he didn't realize
IP.
That.
Yeah.
So he changed the name to something else, but it's not officially yet, so I can't announce it. But you know, that's going on. Can I list my gigs, Jackie?
Yeah, please do. Since I don't have any, go for it.
A crazy month and a half. Coming, or actually, I guess it's the next month. Dayton, of course, this weekend. The following weekend, I'm at Floodwater Comedy Festival in Iowa City, Iowa. I'm in Milwaukee at the Laughing Tap June 7th and 8th. I'm at Portland in Helium June 6th. I'm in Burlington, Vermont, the 31st of May and June 1st. And I'm in Off Cabot in Beverly outside of Boston the very end of June. And I just picked up Bloomington in August. I'm in Manteca in July at the Duck Puppy and Roosters in October. And then I'll never work again. That's it. That's the last income that I believe I will ever have are those 8 gigs. Because that's what it looks like until all the other weeks are filled. And I keep seeing people keep posting their calendars and people are booked all the way through December now. And I'm just like, what? How is this happening?
Right.
Why isn't it happening to me? That's my actual question. My only question. Every time I see a career highlight, someone else's.
When are you, I'm talking to the Deaf Puppy people.
I can't wait. I mean,
it's Manteca, in between Stockton and Modesto.
Yes.
And
listen, that city has been a punchline my entire Bay Area comic life. And mm-hmm. it's coming back hard with its own comedy club, well-paying comedy club, great room. Marcella did it first. She said it's fucking amazing. I'm so excited. If you are anywhere near Manteca, come to the show in July. It'll be fucking great.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, Jackie.
Yeah.
Pitched it hard.
Let's go.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.